Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Shintaro Higashi Show with Peter Yu. Today, we have a very special guest, Nikki Anetska. But before we do, we just want to thank our sponsors. We have Jason Levon and David. Thank you so much. Judo TV also sponsors us. Thank you very much. Thank you, Nikki, for being here. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It's an honor. You've got a lot of viewers.
Yeah, a lot of viewers, and we're excited to have you. For those of you who don't know, Nikki was a 1980 Olympian, right? Three generations of judo. His kid is about to make an Olympic team, knock on wood, right? So it's going to be an amazing podcast. Let's start off with that. 1980 Olympian.
Yeah, 1980. Yeah. Long time ago. I was 16. I didn't have many accomplishments before that. I just got a wild card to, I think I took fifth. I lost for third. I lost to Tamok for third in the nationals that year. And oh, wow. Tamok, they gave... Huh? Yeah,
legend. Another name that goes all the way back.
Yeah. He beat me for third in the nationals, and they gave me a wild card spot. So I got the spot to the, I think they picked the there were seven people in the trials, and I won those trials. So wow. That's how I made the.
How old was Tamok back then?
Tamok, I think, is 8 years older than me.
Okay, so he was already like.
He's 20, mid-20s. 24.
Wow, nice. Yeah, different system back then, right? Because it wasn't like your weight class had to qualify for the Olympics first, and then they decide who's going to go. The country decides, right? Was that how it was?
The country could pick one person per weight class back then. So nice. It was a little bit easier to make the team than it is now.
Yeah, very different now.
Yeah. So, and back then they just had the one trials. Yeah. And like I said, I had no other accomplishments really until in the senior ranks until, so after that trials, they kind of changed the system to a point system. Yeah. And that was in 1984, I won the trials again, but I ended up not going because Brett Barron, who took third place, had like a quarter more point than me at the time.
Oh, man, that
sucks. Yeah, it was really...
That's brutal. Because it's not like you just log on to the internet and be like, all right, how many points do I have, right? Because it's a little bit of a different time.
Yeah, it was like, I remember it wasn't like today's, the point system, Jack's got 2,300 or something like that, right?
Yeah. So what's he on the world ranking list now?
He's right at the end of directly qualifying. So I guess 17. There's 17 that,
wow.
That
nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
that's 17 without doubles, or is that... Without like doubling up countries and stuff or no?
Yeah, so he's like, I guess he's probably like maybe 19, but then there's two people that are in the same countries doubled up, so he moves to the right.
Wow, 17 is so high, man. That's amazing.
Yeah.
So in 1980 was kind of an unfortunate year because it was a boycott, right?
Yep. So Russian, we actually knew right before the trials that we weren't going anyway.
Yeah.
So
how horrible is that?
Well, at the time being 16, I thought, no problem. I'm going to make, some more teams, And like I said, I won the 84, didn't make it then. So
you were 20 at the time, right?
Yeah. Never competed at the Olympics.
What happened after the 20s? Like, did you kind of retire or would you?
No, I kept, let's see, 88. After 84, I dropped. I was never a big enough 78 kilo. I was kind of like hovering in the middle. So I dropped down to 71, and I did pretty good in 71. I beat Mike Swain twice in the nationals. Cool. Somebody just sent me a video of both 85 and 86 nationals with Mike, and I might post it on YouTube.
Oh, my God, post it. I would love to see that, man.
Yeah. So, So I dropped down to 71 and, did well. I won like the Dutch Open, took third in the World University.
Wow.
Oh,
that's
went to the semifinals, fought Koga it's not the Tokyo Grand Slam. It's the Kano Cup.
Oh, yeah. Kano Cup. That's, oh my God. Yeah, that's right. That was a good tournament.
Yeah. So,
what year was that?
86. 86. Wow. I lost to Koga in the semis. Then I lost for third to a Polish guy.
Nice.
Then I went for 88. I went back up because Mike beat me in 87 in the nationals, and he went to the worlds and won the worlds that year. And decided to go back up to 78 and fought 78. But I wasn't, like, I was again in the middle, and I wasn't.
I
messed up in 88. Then I was getting, I wasn't that old, but in 92, I was in the trials again in 92. I lost to Jason, and he took second that year. But, and that was it. So 92, I'm like 29 years old, and my back was bad after that, and I was like, that's it.
Yeah. I remember watching you compete at Senior Nationals when I was like in 2000s. You made a comeback, and you were...
Oh, 2008, I was 44, 45 years old.
And yeah, just... dude, you came out of nowhere. And man, you know, because I grew up in New York, New Jersey, right? And I know your dad, and I know, you know, we're in the same community, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But this is the thing. I was born in 1984. I'm 40 this year. So, and you're 60. So I never got to see you compete. You know, there was like a little bit of a, you were on your way out. And then I was kind of like just kind of starting my teenage IJF career, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So when you were like, I'm coming back to do a U.S. National, I was so excited, dude. And I remember you coming off the mat and you were like, I was like, oh man, wow, that was, you know, and you were like, I've never been so tired in my life. You said those words to me. It was so funny the way you said it, though.
Dude.
Do you remember that?
I'll never forget it. I was feeling good at Randery at that time. Yeah. So I was like, you know, let's go down to drive down to, I think it was Virginia Beach, and I'll compete,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's right.
So the first round, the guy threw me like Yuko or something. He was pretty good, but
yeah.
I beat him. I beat him, but it took the whole, like, I threw him at the end. It took the whole time.
Yeah.
I was kind of like, because in my head, I was still 20 years old and just moving the way I was, you know? I got off the mat. I laid down and I couldn't get up. Like I felt like my kidneys were failing. Like I was dead.
Yeah.
And my dad was like, you know, for the next round, he's like, you know, you're on deck and like, why don't you jump around? Like get used, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, Pop, I can't even move. I'm done. I got, you know, that was it. So, I don't forget.
And here comes me. Hey, what's up, man? I can't believe you were out there.
Yeah.
Man, that's so cool though. And was your dad, I mean, your dad's a legend, right? Because he came to the United States. He was one of the pioneers from Nichidai. Was it Nichidai, right?
Yeah.
Or Nichidai.
Nichidai, yeah.
Nichidai, right. And then my father came with the Kakushikan crew. So there was a huge group of New York, New Jersey, Japanese judo teachers from the old school Japan. What was that like growing up?
Yeah, I mean, that's when judo was seriously. I remember going to tournaments in New York where there was 100 kids in your division, and they had like a five, they called it a 5-point system. Yeah. So if you won by ippon, you had 0 points, but when you get five, you're out. Wow. So that you would have like 15 matches, you know, to win the tournament. There was a lot of kids. It's way different. You know, we had, and because of all those, like your dad, my dad, we had, they were spread out all over New York, Connecticut.
Yes. It was awesome.
And, New Jersey, and judo was big. I mean, it was humongous, just really, really big back then.
And so many cool types of tournaments. I'll never forget, man. You guys ran a tournament with this coolest. It wasn't like weight classes, age categories, right? You had your base weight, and then you would add multipliers and things like this, depending on your age and your belt. Remember that?
I kind of remember that, but not too good.
Oh, man. I competed in a bunch of those when I was younger.
Okay.
So if you're like, you know, under a certain age, you get like, you know, this many points. And if, you know, each pound that you weigh is a certain point, right? And then what belt you are determines like,
okay.
You know, multiplier this and that. So it'll be like, all right, you know, 150 to 200 point division, 200 to 250 point division.
Mm.
So you could be like a lightweight advanced athlete and then go against a beginner heavyweight.
Yeah, yeah.
Which was like the coolest thing ever. Remember that?
Did it work out good? I don't remember how, like...
It was awesome. It was the coolest thing in the world, because I remember being like a 13, 14, 15 kind of a young teen, and I was able to go with some of the West Point guys who were heavyweight white belts.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Because I didn't have any points from my age, because I was younger than everyone, right? I was kind of heavy, and I had a higher belt, right? So I would have to fight in the higher point divisions, even though I was really young, and you get these like super heavy guys. Or, you know, you get some middleweight black belts who were, like, younger, you know, like middle age range, like 20-something.
Yeah.
So it was a really cool tournament, man. And, you could do a lot of that cool stuff.
Made it interesting, you know, like...
Definitely interesting. Yeah. Definitely interesting. Yeah, man. So, growing up, your dad, Yonetsuka Sr., was he tough?
Yeah, he was really tough. He was, you know, very old school. He just wanted to make me the best judoka he could, you know. Yeah. So back in his day, he would do all kinds of crazy, you know, old school Japanese judo is, they did some crazy stuff. And, like, so he would say, you know, like training after school, like he had me, do some of this, you know, stuff that he put two, like handles on a tree trunk.
Yeah.
Like not too big, like about like this big. And he's telling me to do, osotogari on this tree trunk for after school. And, you know, he's not looking, and I'm looking at this thing, and I'm like, I tried it a couple of times, and I'm thinking, I'm not doing this, you know, it's not but you know, like pulling the bands, like whatever, all that. So he just always pushed, you know, me. And then like in Randuri here, or, you know, we would always, we'd had a lot of guys for Randuri, and like Alan Coage, remember, you've heard of Alan Coage?
Yeah, that's
bronze
right.
Bronze medalist, Clyde, Mike, Mitch Santa Maria, you know, we had all these guys that, and like, yeah. I'm 14, and I'm going with, Alan Coage, and I'm a Marote guy. So I come in Marote as deep as I can and as hard as I can. And Alan would just like spin me out like a top, like, you know, just, it was tough. You know, my father was like kind of telling him like, you know, beat him up, you know,
beat him up.
You know, just not beat him up, but you know,
yeah,
like,
of course,
yeah. So
man,
yeah,
that must, and that's so cool that you're in that building still right now, right? How long has that been? The dojo been there?
61 years. 1962, a year before I was born.
Wow, that's the golden age, because I think my father came to the United States in 1963. So in the 60s, really, all the Japanese guys came, and then the 70s, 80s, right? Really, judo was such a big thing.
Yeah,
right? New York, New Jersey.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, they were all young back then, so like they were, you know, doing randori and killing everybody, and it was like, you know, that's how it, you know, when they're young, you know, it blew up.
Yeah, and did you do a lot of randori with your dad?
Yeah.
How's that?
Yeah. At the beginning, you know, he would just throw me around, obviously, like, you know, and then as he got older and I got better, it got pretty tight, you know. And
what age were you guys, say, like, kind of nipping at his heels, kind of?
Nipping at his heels, probably like late teens, you know, but then he hung in there for a long time where it wasn't like I was going to, you know, throw him around ever, you know?
Yeah.
And I think after he, kind of like what I did with my kids, after I knew that it was a little bit too much, you know, like for me, it was like 5 years ago, my kids were not that old. I mean, 5 years ago, they're 17 or something. Yeah. Like, I'm like, you know what? I think I'm going to back off going randori with them a little bit. Cause you know, that's how, but you know, same with my dad, but his was even, you know, longer, you know, he was,
Yeah. It's gotta be tough, right? When you're like, at the dojo, you're 60 something and your kid's throwing you around, and you get home, it's like, all right, do your homework. And it's like, you know what?
Yeah. Well, that would never happen. You know, like,
but, man, so did you train Jack and Nikki like the same way that you were kind of brought up training?
Yeah. When my dad passed and I started teaching at the club.
Yeah.
The one thing I knew was like, I don't know how to, I've never run my own business or anything like that. I don't know if I'm a good businessman at all. I knew I didn't know anything about it, but I knew I could make kids better in judo because that's all I did my whole life. And I know how to, because what my dad did with me. So that's what I actually told him when, you know, the first day I came back, I told the class, like, that's what I'm going to do. If you want to get better at judo, I can make you better at judo. And I figure that's the way they're going to stay, because you usually like doing what you're good at. So if I can make these kids good, they'll stay. And I have this class twice a week. You know, it's like the advanced class, we called it, or competition class or whatever. And I would select a couple kids. If you're like, it's invitation only. If you're able to enter that class, then I would push those kids. There's a few that came up with Nick and Jack that are still in that.
Yeah.
And I would push them hard and do a lot of muscle memory, like drills, and just like just get them ready for, you know, like really, really a lot. And I'd throw a lot of techniques at them, see what sticks. And so Nick and Jack came up with that. And at first it wasn't, you know, they were younger, so it wasn't too, you know, high level, but it was, you know, and as they grew as they got their level higher and higher. You know, the technique, the different higher technique, you know, would really go up with them. And then the other kids, whoever's in that class, if they can hang, they can hang. You know, it was based a lot on Nick and Jack, you know, like that class. A lot of them didn't hang. You know, a lot of the kids dropped out, you know, didn't want to do that class. And then, all right, so.
Do your kids do judo every day at the gym, at your dojo?
Not at the dojo. They do. It's 4 times a week. And then after you know, off the mat, you know, they do other stuff, you know.
Yeah, and like Jack, lifting weights and things like that.
Lifting weights. Yeah. But Jack is really, really, he's a like a machine. Like he kind of he's like a shark. If he's not moving and doing stuff, he gets maybe anxious or he's.
Yeah.
So he's very, like I don't have to push him at all with that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
He takes it on himself and
Does he ask a lot of questions, like technique wise? Like, hey, Pops, what do you think about this and that?
He doesn't ask a lot of questions, but I throw a lot of stuff at him. And when I do throw stuff at him, like, it's surprising that maybe 70% of the time, he's already kind of thought of something similar. So we're nice. At this point, you know, we're kind of like in cahoots with, you know, not all the time, but like 70% of the time, he's already had a thought of, and he understands it very quick. He gets it. You know, it comes to like, he knows exactly what we're talking about. Sometimes it's like, nah, you know, I can't do that. But, you know.
Yeah. So like I watch your kid do judo on judo TV and stuff, right? Whenever I know he's coming up, like that drop Ochi that he does, right? Like that's not like, you never used to do that. You know, you're kind of like a stand up to Ochimata guy, right? From the very little judo that I've seen you do and the judo that I've heard people talk about what your style was, like, where did that come from? Like, did you teach him that?
No, I know how a lot of other coaches are, but everybody's got to be, whatever you're good at, this is what you should continue to try to, like, build on. I'm not going to tell everybody do, let's say, sticky foot or, you know, it doesn't have to be my style, but I understand all different techniques. So if you have a talent for Uchimata or Marote, whatever Ochigari, whatever your talent is, then you build off of that to do other techniques from that. You know what I mean? Like, don't change. Just do what you're good at and build off of that is my thing.
Did your judo style reflect very closely to your father's style?
No, not at all. Not at all. Really? He's Hani Ghosh. I was Marote. I was Marote and Ochi.
You're doing a Uchimata. Why did I think
did Uchimata too, but it depended on the guy. Like if it was like you'll see like if I post that thing with Mike Swain.
Yeah.
On lefties, I would do Uchimata because that leg was there.
Oh,
I'm a righty, so you know, so it's harder to get in front with Marote, but
definitely, yeah, for sure. Especially, inside control, outside. If you're on the outside, you can't do Marote at all.
Yeah. I would do left Ippon. And right Uchimata.
Oh, that's a good one to have both.
Well, that's what I would do on a lefty, but on a righty, I would always Marote.
Nice.
My style was a little bit more like Jack than my other son, Nicky. He's just starting to pick up Marote now, but like he's more of a like around the back and pull him in close, you know, that kind of thing.
So that's your judo. What is your like overall judo teaching philosophy? Like we kind of have a gist, but like, you know, coming from you, like, if you want to explain it, what would that be like?
As far as like making the kid better?
Making the kid better, all that stuff.
Well, like I said, like I see they're talented in first of all, Uchikomi, like even to get to that advanced class that I have, I watch their Uchikomi, and Uchikomi is super important. So I correct everything in Uchikomi, and then I see what they're good at. Like what throw are you good at? So how do we make that throw work for you? It's not just the steps and the technique. It's timing. It's how to move your opponent to make that work. The grip, all this. So you just, like I said, I try to make each kid like whatever they're already kind of good at, use that to make, you know, help them make better and just build on that and go, you know, from there.
So when did you take over the dojo completely?
2014.
Okay, and then before that, were you like still in the dojo all the time or not?
Yeah,
so much?
After I stopped competing, like in 93 was my last senior nationals, and I was already, like I said, I wasn't that old. I was 29, but I'd been doing judo since I'm 4 years old, competing all the time. You know what I mean? And I felt like an old 29.
Yeah.
So, and then my back got real, like, had to take a whole year off. My back was super messed up. I couldn't walk barely. But then I just, after that, it, you know, I came back and I just was doing randori 3 times a week, then twice a week. And it was just come for randori. That's it. My dad was the sensei, and I'm not, he didn't really like kind of, I don't know how your dad was, but he didn't like kind of like, say, hey, this is how we do the business. And I want you to kind of like, you know, start running classes. He never did that. And so I was like, that's fine. I have my own job and you do your thing. And I was just coming just for recreational, randori, a few times a week.
Nice. Yeah. My father too, man. The way he did the business too, it was kind of like, everyone was on month to month. People would bring cash. And then sometimes like, hey man, you didn't pay, come here. You know, like, and it was just like embarrass the guy. The guy would quit. You know, there was no like process. There was no system. People would come in, get on the mat, do randori first day and get injured. You know, it was like the Wild West, dude.
Yep. Yep.
You know,
no,
I don't know if you run 100%. It like that now.
But no, I did when I first started. That's, I didn't know I didn't know anything, but I started to like see, you know, credit cards probably better, you know, like
better. So good. So good. Right. Yeah. Just automatically bill everybody. That's kind of the way, right?
Yeah.
You guys do contracts, commitments?
No, we did. But now I'm trying to do just automatic credit card. We just have like a 3 month commitment that after 3 months we could freeze it or cancel it, whatever.
Oh, good, good. All right, so you're doing all the right things, right?
I guess. I don't know. You're the master at that.
No, that's not. Yeah, and you have like a YouTube channel now and Instagram and everything. I love it. You want to plug it? Where can they find you?
The YouTube channel?
Yeah, YouTube channel, Instagram.
My name is it's just Nick. Under Nick Ioneska, and you'll find the YouTube.
Are you still posting every day?
No. I like once a month now. It's just it's just it's like techniques and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's really good, man. I really like it. You know, and there's so much not so good content out there when it comes to judo techniques. So I think you're really adding value to the world of judo when you do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, so cool. I started in. What was it in COVID? You know, you had done stuff before that, but a lot of people were doing YouTube. During, you know, everybody's because you're sitting at home watching, you know, the stuff on YouTube.
Yeah,
and a lot of it was pretty bad. So, I was like, I was like, you know what? Let me start one. You know,
nice. So where's Jack now in terms of like making an Olympic team now? Like, it's got to be right now is the crunch time, right?
Yeah, I mean, he has, there's like this year, last year, you can't change that. This year, there's 6 slots for your best scores, your best 6 scores. He's got 3 really good
results.
He took 2nd in the junior worlds. Mm. He took 5th.
That counts towards seniors?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Really?
Yep. He got 409. That's a Grand Prix. It's Grand Prix points.
Oh, okay, got it.
Not
got
Grand Slam, but Grand Prix points. So then he got 5th in Abu Dhabi Grand Slam, and he took 3rd in the Perth Oceania Grand Prix. Yeah.
Okay.
So then he needs 3 more. He has other scores that he can do better with, so he needs 3 more. And I think he's got like 7 more tournaments or something lined up. And
nice. How close is the race for him to make a direct qualification?
It's like he's the last right now. He's pretty much the last slot. You know, people can pass him or, you know, for direct qualification.
Yeah, man, that's brutal. So what's the wild card looking like over there with
the wild card is looking good though for Jack because he's got more points than it seems like Maria will probably directly qualify. And then after that, he's got the most points after that. So,
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Yeah. Wow. So, man, this must have been such a costly journey for you too, right? I mean, people listening in, they have no clue what, you know, going to these IJF events cost, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's got to be $3,000 to $5,000 a month, every trip really almost, right?
Yeah. Thank God. You know, what USA Judo doesn't, USA Judo has, criteria for, how, you know, if you're top 20 or top 25 or even top 30, you get a certain amount.
Yeah.
But whatever they don't cover, thank God for New York Athletic Club, they we try to expense it, and they give you what they can, and it's they've been unbelievable. Without them, I don't think we could. We, there's no way.
It's brutal. Were you a part of the athletic club too back in the day?
No, I you know, I'm so old that there was no IJF and there was no there was no USA Judo, right? So
really?
USA Judo was right after I retired.
Wow.
There was one guy like that would whatever money the U.S. Olympic Committee would give judo.
Yeah.
This guy named Frank Fullerton managed the money, and he would say there was no staff. It was just him. He would say, "Okay, we're going to Europe, and we're going to go this tournament, this tournament, this tournament. If you make the team, you don't have to pay anything. As long as you are on the team, you know, you don't have to pay." So
How do you make the team?
You have to be the best guy in your weight class, basically.
Oh, okay. Perfect.
Yeah.
How did they determine that? Nationals?
Nationals. There was three. There was nationals. There was the U.S. Open, which was a pretty big tournament back then.
Yeah.
They had a lot of other countries would come. And trials, they would have like one trials for Pan Ams or Worlds.
Yeah. I kind of miss that style, you know, like it keeps the dream going a little bit, you know, like, oh, let me limp at the nationals, maybe win it, and then maybe I go to a big tournament, you know, like, but now it's like with the qualifications, it seems like there's no way to just limp into something local and then take it all the way to the top, because you have to go to these international events and such to kind of gain any sort of, right?
Yeah.
It's brutal. Like, yeah, man. So,
like the nationals kind of got watered down because of that too, you know, like it used to be the if you won nationals, you were the man, you know, like that was, like there was, if there was three tournaments, that was, you know, a third of it.
Yeah. Yeah. But now it's like, why would you risk going to nationals and getting injured in a tournament that really doesn't matter at all for Olympic qualifications? Like, why would anyone want to do that? Right.
That's right. However, unless you're sponsored by New York AC, then
it's true.
You got to go. Yeah.
I mean, it's a pretty good deal what the New York Athletic Club is doing for some of these amateur athletes. You know, I think they're kind of a little bit, not as, you know, in terms of like budget wise, as big as they were before, right? But they're still doing great for the. I don't know how many guys are on the team now. I probably should know, but that's amazing, man.
Yeah, no, they without them, I'm telling you, no one. It wouldn't be happening. You can't go to everything is. I don't know if there's one a month. There's probably 12 events or something or more.
Yeah, you gotta go 10 events at least a year to have, you know.
To be clear, so you know, there's no way.
Yeah. When I was coming up, man, they also had the Hudson Athletes Fund with New York, New Jersey. That was a really nice thing for a little bit, right?
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a few hundred bucks here and there. That's, it's, you know. It's
used to be much bigger. They used to be, they did well for a hot second, you know. And then, you know, with the change in power and all this stuff and Billy Martin leaving and COVID, it just kind of went away, you know. It's not the same.
Oh, right. And I guess also, like, USJF is kind of, you know, getting pushed out a little bit, so, and that's a USJF guy. Yeah.
Oh man, so what's next for Jack? Like, what tournaments does he have left?
He just competed in Uzbekistan. He's going right from there to Austria, and I'm going to meet him out there. I'm leaving Wednesday. After Austria, Tbilisi.
Are you going to Tbilisi?
No, I'm just going to Austria, coming back.
I'm going to Tbilisi now.
Oh, this for this?
For the judo tournament, yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah, I'm making a comeback. No, I'm not making a comeback.
Are you going, though?
I'm going to commentate for Judo TV.
Oh, wow. That's cool. That's really cool.
They were like, hey, do you want to do this thing? And I was like, oh, yeah, I'll try it out. You know, so we're going to have, like, I'm going to be training to be a commentator.
Like with Neil and Sheldon?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, I'll be there. I'm going to be, you know, they wanted an American accent, I think, for Judo TV or something like this.
No, that's great. That's awesome. Yeah.
So, you know? I'll be in the thing. Hey, oh, there's Jackie Netzka. Just talking to his dad.
Yeah. No, that's great, man.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
I'm going to be excited. It's going to be exciting, man. If he stays, is there a camp there? Do you know?
There's so much going on. I don't even remember. I know he's now. Nah, I think there might be. There might be.
Yeah. Do they still do camps in between each Grand Slam event?
Not all of them, but some of them do have them, and you know, he likes, if he's there, he definitely wants to do the camps, you know.
Dude, those camps are awesome, man. I remember like they would do like the Asia tour, you know. And I remember one time I went from Korea to China to Japan, And then the camp was 1 week, like 3 or 4 days in between each tournament. And after the Tokyo Grand Slam, we were there for like 2 weeks.
Right.
You know? And then everyone went home, but I stayed for 2 weeks extra to work out with the Kakushikan team. Yeah. So, it was like 6 weeks of just all judo. It was like so awesome, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, so, you need that. Yeah. I mean, it, like at that level, like you got to get your hands on the best players to, you know, just to get confidence and to... Yeah. You know, see where you're at, you know.
So he does majority of his training at home in your dojo, though.
Yep. He's whenever he's if he's not like this year is crazy. He has it's like from like I explained, he's not even coming home. He's going from, you know, Uzbekistan to Austria to Tbilisi. Then it might be Turkey after that.
Oh, yeah, I'll be in just Turkey
directly.
Yeah.
So, but if on a regular like 2022, 2023.
Yeah.
If he's not doing a tournament in a camp, he's here at the club.
Nice, nice. All right, so if you were to give some advice, right, the dads out there, if they want to build their kid into like an Olympian, you have any advice for those guys?
Build a kid to an Olympian.
Yeah, maybe they have like a five-year-old or a seven-year-old. They're bought in. The dad loves judo. They want their kid to be a judo champion. And you see it all the time. You know, most guys who are in it, who have dojos, they put their kid into the dojo, right? So
well, the one thing I would say is, and I've seen this many, many times, is if the kid is a young kid, if he's doing really, really good, it's almost a bad thing, because there's only one way to go after that is down, because you know it gets harder if there's I've seen kids that are really, really talented and they win everything right off the bat, and the fathers are pushing them and they're all into it. But it gets harder as they get older, and then if they don't win, it's like it's not fun anymore. So I would say don't push so much at the beginning when they're little. Wait till like with Nick and Jack, it was pretty recreational until they were like maybe 13,
12, 13, 14. What do you consider recreational?
Just you know, competing for fun, like you know. Going to practice all the time, but then when you compete, you're competing just to see where you're at, but you're not, it's nothing, it's not important, you know, it's not like you win or lose, it's, what's the difference, you know, you're just seeing how you're doing, you know.
What's like the training regimen when they were like 10?
Just coming to class and doing, you know, that's it. We only had it, you know, like 3 or 4 times a week, whatever it was, and their mom would bring them. I was, when they were 10, like I wasn't even involved too much, you know.
So when they were kids, right? I remember when I was a kid, I was like, "Dad, I want to join the little league." You know, I was like, "Ah, you don't need to do that." So it was like that was what I did, judo. That's it. You know, were you kind of the same way? Like, were they allowed to like join a flag football league or like Tuesday nights they have skating with their friends?
Yeah, let them do whatever they wanted, and like when Jack was in grammar school, elementary school. He did basketball. He did soccer. He did all these things, and he wasn't good at all. You know, I sucked at basketball too, but I'd go play with him and say like he can't shoot, so I'm like, you know what, get rebounds. Just try to like be tough on the inside. And Nicky did track. He lasted till like freshman year in high school. He did track.
Nice.
And then they both decided, you know, I'm better at judo. I might as well stick to, if you want to be really good at something, which they both decided they wanted to be really good at something, they stayed with judo. Nice. That's kind of me too. Like my dad, like he kind of said what your dad did, but I wrestled. Did you wrestle in high school?
Yeah. High school, college. Yeah.
I wrestled in high school, but not like, I just did it for the social part of it. And
definitely fun. Yeah.
You know, like to have some recognition in the school and stuff like that. And, so, but I didn't really practice with I just went to the meets and I did good enough. So they let me just go to the meets and, but my dad, you know, eventually was like, if you want to do something, if you want to be really good, you got to just do one thing. That's it.
Yeah. I mean, it is true. You got to kind of, so you guys have practice which days now?
Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturdays.
Nice. That's a good schedule. Yeah. 'Cause then you can kind of have like Tuesday and Friday off and they're kind of far away from each other. To where everyone can just make all the practices reasonably, right? If you want to be good, you know?
Yeah. We changed it around a little bit. Like Friday, there was class, but Fridays, like in the summertime, like I live down the Jersey Shore.
Yeah.
And the traffic going south on the parkway is like, forget it. Friday.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Man. So what's next for you? Like, are there a lot of guys coming up in your dojo that you also want to bring up who are kind of like also going to be the next generation of guys? Or
well,
because you have a long history of building champs, you know, at the UNESCA dojo, right?
Yeah, yeah. We that class that I was telling you about, we have like two like 15-year-olds that are there. One of them is like really, really good. Like I would say better than Nick and Jack at that time when they were that age.
Yeah.
Then we have another group that are like maybe three or four, 12, 13 age group kids that are coming up, and they're hanging with that class, doing well. And then we got some really little kids that that are good, but I'm not letting them in that class. You know what I mean? But the parents are like, hey, can we put them in this class? And I'm like, no, you got to be patient, you know. Like, but so hopefully pretty soon those kids will be there too.
You push a lot of kids to competition? Like, hey, you guys should go?
I just advertise, like when like especially like you know, Ramon and Tony, their tournaments, Corey's tournament, like just for their sake, like I just post and I say, if you want to compete, let's go, you know.
Nice. What do you do during the day over there at the is there day classes running or
no? I don't have any day classes, and I probably, you know, I'm not working too hard. You know, I'm just doing the, how about you? You got the day classes, right?
Or I have a Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday day classes, but I don't teach them.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't want to be.
Yeah, right?
You know, because when you're young, like Colton Brown has a gym now. He's there 6 a.m., noon, 10 a.m., all day, all night. But it's like I have a 5-year-old daughter. You know, I want to, like, take her to school, pick her up from school, all this stuff. I don't want to be there since, you know. Right.
Yeah.
The guy's like, hey, can you do a 7 a.m. private? It's like, no, that's out of the question. I'm not doing
maybe
that.
Like when you know, Nick and Jack, they take over, they'll probably, you know, put more classes and do something.
Dude, that's the dream, lines, right? But, like people say, like, oh, you start a business, you give it to your kid, but your dad started the business, gave it to you, and you could give it to your kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Do you have any other job now or no?
No, that's it.
Wow, you're a full timer like me. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Do you miss your old job of?
Hell no, man. That was just to, you know, money. That's all that was about. Yeah. Now it's totally different. You know,
you didn't like residential real estate? Like, oh, man, look at this house. Look at this condo. Look at the
It wasn't here. Bad, you know, like as far as a job goes, but it was a job. I got paid by how many I did, how many appraisals you did. So, you know, you work a lot of hours just to make money, you know?
Yeah. How many? Could you do 3 appraisals in a day?
Yeah, about 3, you know?
And because you got to travel, go do the thing, answer a lot of annoying questions if they're there.
and you know, there's, you know, your bosses, you know, they're breathing on your back and stuff like that. So
you love being a dojo owner and doing what you did, what do you do now?
Yeah, I, like I said, it's not a job. It's more of you know, it's something to wake up in the morning and be like, you know. Yeah. I want to do this today because, like, I think it'll help this one or that one, you know? Yeah.
Oh, that's great, man.
Yeah.
And then, so, when you gave that up and then decided to go full throttle with the dojo, like, were you, like, a little bit worried at all? Like, because I remember when your father passed and you had to take over. I remember we had a couple of conversations about, like, running a dojo and stuff because I've already been doing it for my father, you know, at my gym.
Yep.
Right? Was it, like, a scary transition or?
I guess my whole life I kind of dive head first into stuff. I'm not like, I don't overthink things too much, and I kind of know myself a little bit. So like I said, I knew that business wise, I might not be but when he passed, like the business wasn't doing that great anyway, but, I knew that I could make kids better if they wanted to be better. I knew I could do that. But as far as the, like, so I just, you know, kind of winged it and see. Yeah.
I mean, it's a tough thing, right? Because mat space is so valuable because everyone's off, right? After school to like 7 or 8 p.m. That's the time that you can pack classes in.
Yeah.
And then if you have unlimited packages and kids are coming, you know, 4 days, 5 days a week, you're not really maximizing the time and space. So from like a commercial standpoint, like you want once a week, twice a week packages and fill as many kids in each of those slots as possible, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, boy, it's a tough thing to decide, you know? It's like, they want to make a lot more money by having, you know, a lot more students and maximize the time and space. How do you balance that?
I kind of just want to pack the, we're pretty packed as it is, you know, like we only have like those 4 days. We have kids class, adult class, and the advanced class. Those are the three different classes we have.
Kids class is just kids. That's it. There's no age group segmentation.
Nope. Just, as long as they're, young enough or small enough where they can't go to the adult class, like it would be just ridiculous in the adult class, they stay in that class. The depending on the size of the kid and talent, if they're like 14 and they're kind of like, then some of them come to do both classes, you know, like one of the kids I was talking about.
Nice.
But yeah, I don't know. I just
did you always think you would take it over?
No, my dad was. He told me I wasn't right for it. He used to say, you know, your personality is not right. You know, like for a service business kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I know what he meant. You know, I'm not. I'm not like that. The people don't think I'm like the friendliest, outgoing kind of person. You know, so that's I guess what he thought with the service business. But
Yeah, I mean it's a tough business too. I mean, my father told me the same thing. He's like, you know, it's not right for you. You got to go be a doctor. It's like, have you seen my grades? You know, like what are you talking about, doctor? Yeah, are you crazy? You know, but yeah, man. Do you want your kids to take it over?
I do, because I, you know, my dad, when he was, the last thing he said to me before he died was take care of the club. So
really?
For me,
wow.
Yeah,
I love that. Wow.
The last thing he ever said to me, and you know, at the time I didn't think he was going to, he died the next day, and I was like, I didn't think he was going to, but I said, man, that's, you know, obviously that's in my head forever, and I'm doing my best, and then if Jack and Nick can take over, then it's all good for me, you know. I did my part, you know.
Yeah, that's amazing, man. Yeah, because I've been there many times to train, you know, and I see behind you this floor tiles, and it's the same, man. The door wall, you know, like I know, like you go out there, take a left, the dojo's right there.
Yeah.
Right. What a thing, huh?
Yeah. I remember you. I think the first time I remember you was like, remember the East Coast Championships?
Yeah, yeah.
That my dad used to do in Newark.
Yeah,
and I would be at the tables doing
that's right, the pool and stuff.
And you always used to come around like a young kid. How old were you back then?
13, 12, 10.
Yeah, I've been you were a young kid. Man.
Yeah.
But like you were always like laughing and not taking things too seriously and stuff.
That's
the only impression I ever, the first time I remember you.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Dude, I used to get in a lot of trouble at those things too, man.
Yeah.
I used to ask Mr. Sheena if he was Chinese, and then he would tell my dad would give me a beating, dude. It was like a thing, you know?
You just to bust on him?
It was just funny. Like, I didn't even know the guy that well.
Yeah.
But, like, I would spread rumors like, yo, did you know they're all Japanese except Mr. Sheena? He's Chinese. Like, it was just, like, something that I did for fun. And it was just, kind of got out of hand. And then my dad's like, yo, if you do it again, I'm going to freaking give you a beating.
No, I could totally picture you doing that.
Yeah. That's good time, man. Do you want to run tournaments, too, or...?
I did run tournaments. I ran tournaments here at the club, and you know, we would have the place would be packed, and we didn't charge. You know, we would charge like $40 or $50 for entry fees and stuff like that. And but it's like it's work. You know, it's not.
It's work. Yeah.
You know, so
there's something
now.
Nice.
There's so many tournaments to go to. So after, I guess the last one was probably right before COVID, 2019, and after that, there's a lot of tournaments for everybody to go to, so I kind of backed off, and I just
dude, there's something nice, right? To wake up, it's like, all right, I'm not committed till 5 or 6 p.m. I just got to go and teach my judo. You're already good at it. You don't have to come up with a curriculum or a lesson plan. You just show up. It's like, all right, guys, it's all in here. Let's work out, you know?
That's
right.
Isn't something
beautiful about that?
Oh, it's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I said, like, I know, like, I don't even have to, I take a look at the mat and I see, like, who do we have? So what level, and go, okay, this is what we'll do today. And if there's a like more higher advanced, you know, like, okay, this is what we'll do today. Like, you just, it's easy, you know?
Yeah. I mean, we share some students now, you know, like Cameron goes, he's from there. And when he's in New York City, he'll come to mine and he'll go back, right? And then, so like, my impression of you guys still, because I remember when every time I went, it was like, all right, guys, hang out for a little bit. We're doing Randori for the rest of the time.
Yeah.
And there was like no timer, no nothing. It was just like, it would just be Randori the whole time, right? Is that still how it kind of is, or do you teach a little bit more?
I teach, it depends. Usually there's like three, it's usually Randori. We do have a timer, like 4 minute rounds.
Yeah.
But there's a class on Saturday that it's no Randori. It's all instructional.
On Saturday?
Saturday, yeah. Mm-hmm. Saturday, 10:30, 11:30. And then sometimes if it's a little bit, like if we have like less than 15 people or so, like I'll teach, you know, on that day. You know what I mean? Yeah. On that, if it's a light class, just because, you know, if there's, but usually we have so many partners that, you know, after like hour and a half, people are, you know, it's not enough. So, so we just throw rounds in of Randera, you know, they just,
yeah. Wow. That's awesome, man. I gotta visit, man. I know Lydia goes there too now on Saturdays too. And she's like loving it. You know, I know Salama's been going too. Is that right?
Salama's, he's good for at least twice a week. Yeah.
Salama's great too, huh?
Yeah. Oh, he's always an awesome guy. He's the best.
Yeah. He's like such a positive in the room. He's like three or four guys. Like, he's just like, he's like a plus three in the room. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He'll go with
yeah.
anybody. He won't.
Exactly.
And he won't hurt anybody. And he's always friendly.
Yeah.
You know? Is that the kind of culture that you guys try to build actively at the gym? Or is that something that just happened?
No,
like,
I don't know.
What's the culture like right now at the gym?
It is like that. It's real friendly. Everybody know, like, you know, no one's trying to kill each other. There's you're a black belt going with a white belt. You teach him, help him. Jack was a little bit, he's the one that was as a kid, like 15 years old, he goes a little crazy. You know, when I was going with him and we're going out of bounds or something like that, he'll push me in the back to, like, oof. You know, because he gets upset. He gets upset at himself, but he takes it out on you or the other person. So a couple times I had to tell him, Jack, you gotta chill, man. You know, no one's gonna want to go with you. Sometimes he was doing it to Nikki. Nikki one time like popped him right in the
love it.
Yeah. Wow. So, but other than Jack, everybody else is pretty chill.
That's so cool, man. That's awesome. All right, so where can these guys find you? If you guys, the people who are listening to the podcast, you know, where can they find you? Do you want them to find you?
Here in Cranford?
No, it's in general, like YouTube stuff. They have questions for you, whatnot. You know, some people like to promote their Instagram or something, so they're like, you know.
Yeah, Instagram is Cranford JKC Instagram, and the YouTube is Nick Yaneska, Nick_Yaneska, and that's,
You didn't want to do a GoFundMe or anything for your kids' judo Olympic thing? A lot of guys are doing that kind of thing.
I know, but like right now, you know, with the sponsorship that they have, you know, I feel like that's good enough.
Nice, good. That's awesome, man. I like your attitude with all this.
Okay.
It's got to be so stressful, right? To put your
kids is.
All this? Yeah.
It is. It's tough, definitely man. Stressful.
I'm like struggling trying to put my kid in judo. My daughter, she's 5, and it's like, you know. It's tough, right? Because it's such a tough road, you know. And
I have a 30-year-old daughter, and I.
You have a daughter?
I knew right off the bat. She it was not with Denise, with another mom, and I knew right off the bat she wasn't doing judo. She's like very girly girl, and you know, and I didn't push her, you know.
So my daughter loves ballet, princess stuff, you know, dresses, and she's not.
It's okay, you know. You don't have. Everybody has to do judo, you know. It's okay.
Yeah, that's true. Well, thank you for being on the podcast, man. Great
chat
with you, hearing about your stuff. Great 3 generations of judo, man. That thing what you said about your dad, man, that's really powerful stuff, dude. Love it.
Yeah.
So thank you very much, man. And
thank you, Shitar.
To your kid, and you know, we'll all be watching and rooting for your kid, judotv.com. So.
Thank you, man. Yep, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.